Hey dads, before we jump into today's episode, I want to let you know about a great resource we have for you called the Dad Son Challenge, 10 manly activities that dads and sons can do together. These are fun activities that you and your son can do to help both of you get better at being men that are based around the 5 marks of manhood that we talk about in each episode of Manly Tales. So go to manhoodtribes.com/challenge where you can download your free Dad Son Challenge today. That's manhoodtribes.com/challenge. Welcome to Manly Tales, stories for making men out of boys, a podcast for dads and sons to listen to together. I'm Don Ross, the host of Manly Tales, and each episode you'll hear my sons and me talk about the stories that are inspiring and teaching us about what it means to be a man. We're excited to have you listen in with us. This episode is part of Season 5 of Manly Tales, where we're talking about Greek heroes and legends. This episode is about Odysseus. Let's listen together.
Odysseus was the king of Ithaca, a small but proud island in the Ionian Sea. But his heart was heavy because he had been away from his beloved home for far too long. Odysseus had fought valiantly in the Trojan War, but now he yearned to return to his wife Penelope and his son Telemachus. The gods were not ready to make Odysseus' journey easy, for they loved to test the courage of mortals. As he set sail from Troy with his loyal crew, they encountered the first of many challenges, Scylla and Charybdis. Odysseus, known for his wisdom, gathered his men and explained, "Listen closely, my friends. Ahead, there lies a treacherous path between two great dangers. On one side, there's Scylla, a terrible monster with 6 heads and sharp teeth. On the other, Charybdis, a whirlpool that devours ships whole. We must navigate this perilous strait with care." Amidst the murmurs of concern, one of his men, Eurylochus, asked, "But Odysseus, can't we find another way? This path seems far too dangerous." Odysseus fixed his gaze on Eurylochus and replied, "There's no other route, my friend. We must face these dangers head on. We have the skills and the will to overcome them." As they approached the narrow passage, Scylla struck. With her towering, snake-like necks, she plucked 6 of Odysseus' brave men from his ship and devoured them. The rest of the crew wept, but had no time to grieve, for Charybdis was ready to strike. They rowed with all their might, narrowly escaping the whirlpool's grasp. The sea roared, but Odysseus and his remaining crew sailed on. They had survived Scylla and Charybdis, but their trials were far from over. Next, they arrived on an island inhabited by a one-eyed giant, Polyphemus. Odysseus and his men found themselves trapped in the giant's cave. When Polyphemus returned, he sealed the entrance with a massive boulder and devoured 2 of Odysseus's crew members. Undaunted, Odysseus hatched a daring plan. He offered the giant wine, telling him his name was Nobody. As Polyphemus grew drunk, he asked Odysseus for his name. Laughing, Odysseus replied, "I am Nobody." Polyphemus, now slurring his words, said,
"Well then, Nobody, I like you. I'll eat you last."
When Polyphemus fell into a deep sleep, Odysseus and his men drove a sharp stake into the giant's eye, blinding him. The next morning, Polyphemus cried out in agony, telling the other Cyclops that Nobody had harmed him. They assumed he was fine and left him to suffer. As they escaped, Polyphemus removed the boulder from the cave's entrance to let his sheep out. Odysseus and his men cleverly clung to the undersides of the sheep and made their escape. Polyphemus, still blind, couldn't stop them. They had overcome the Cyclops, but their journey was far from over. Odysseus and his men encountered the enchanting witch Circe on an island. She welcomed them with deceit and turned the crew into pigs. Luckily, Odysseus was warned by the god Hermes and was given a magical herb to protect himself. He bargained with Circe to release his men, and she obliged. Circe's magic had taken its toll, but Odysseus and his crew were now stronger and wiser. They stayed with Circe for a year, recharging their spirits and supplies. She advised them on their journey ahead, especially the path to the land of the dead, where they needed to seek guidance from the prophet Tiresias. With their newfound knowledge, they sailed to the edge of the underworld, where they encountered lost souls and the ghosts of the departed. Tiresias revealed the challenges that awaited Odysseus, including the treacherous sirens whose enchanting song lured sailors to their doom. As they sailed past the sirens, Odysseus and his crew plugged their ears with beeswax to resist the song's allure. He himself curious to hear their melody, had himself tied to the mast of the ship. He writhed and begged to be set free as the siren's song called to him, but his loyal crew, bound by their orders, sailed on. The journey continued, and they reached the island of Thrinitia, home of the cattle of the sun god Helios. Despite warnings from Circe and Tiresias, hunger and desperation led Odysseus' crew to slaughter the sacred cattle. This act angered the gods, and as they set sail once again, a fierce storm brewed around them. Zeus struck their ship with lightning, sending it crashing into the sea. All of Odysseus' crew perished in the tempest, leaving him alone to face the wrath of the gods. With nothing but determination left, Odysseus clung to the wreckage and drifted at sea for many days. Eventually, he reached the island of Calypso, a beautiful nymph. "Stay with me, and I can offer you immortality," Calypso attempted. Odysseus found her offer intoxicating and hard to resist. He was caught in her web for a long time. At last he came to his senses. "I cannot stay any longer," Odysseus said to Calypso. "I must return to my wife and son." The gods took pity on Odysseus and intervened. With the help of Athena, they arranged his release from Calypso's captivity. She gave him a raft and supplies, and he set sail once more. After many trials and tribulations, Odysseus finally arrived on the shores of Ithaca, his beloved homeland. But he found it in disarray. Suitors had taken over his palace, believing him to be dead, and they sought to marry Penelope. Odysseus disguised himself as a beggar, and with the guidance of Athena, hatched a plan to reclaim his kingdom. He enlisted the help of his son Telemachus, and together they devised a strategy to defeat the suitors. In a thrilling battle, Odysseus and Telemachus fought valiantly against the suitors, who had been feasting and reveling in their home for years. With the gods on their side, father and son emerged victorious, vanquishing the suitors and restoring peace to Ithaca. Finally, the moment Odysseus had longed for arrived. He revealed his true identity to Penelope, and they were reunited at last. "Odysseus, is it really you?" Penelope said in hope and disbelief. "It is," he replied. "The years have been long, and the gods have tested me to my limits. But at long last, I have come home to you, Penelope, my love." Their love and loyalty had withstood the test of time and trials. And together they reigned over Ithaca once more. The story of Odysseus, the hero who braved monsters, faced gods, and overcame countless challenges, served as an inspiration to all. It taught the young boys of Ithaca that with courage, cunning, and the help of friends, they could conquer any obstacle and find their way home, just as Odysseus had.
So this is probably one of the more famous Greek hero stories that we've got going on here during this season. And I love this one. It's kind of straight out of the story of the Odyssey. And you get all kinds of really like cool things that happen during the story. I mean, some really bad things that happen too. But lots of different things happening in Odysseus's story that I think are really kind of fun to listen to. What did you guys think about this story? What were some of your favorite moments?
I mean, obviously for me, it was just Scylla and Charybdis. Like, I literally did a project for this in the eighth grade where I had to, like, make a whole, like, 3D, like, diorama for it. And it was just, like, my favorite thing that I've ever done in school. And it was awesome.
It was pretty awesome. You did a really great job of that. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was really good. I remember it. My favorite part was probably what Eli said when he... mine was probably when he battled all the monsters. So, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I thought so too. I always really liked the part where he tricks the Cyclops by calling himself nobody. And, you know, then they like ride on the bottom of the sheep to get out of the cave. I think that's really kind of fun and clever. And yeah, just, you know, there's lots of like interesting ways that he overcomes all the different obstacles in front of him during the story. And I think all those are great. I like the part about the sirens too. You know, we talked about the sirens when we did the story of Jason and the Argonauts, and they overcame the sirens using music. But now Odysseus overcomes the sirens by having his crew tie him to the mast of the ship so that he can't get away, but he can still listen to the siren song. I thought that was pretty clever, too. So, you know, some just like fun and neat moments in this story, but definitely a great Greek hero story. So here at the Manly Tales podcast, we like to talk about what it means to be a man. And we do that by talking about our five marks of manhood, which are what, you guys?
Strength.
Courage.
Skill.
Honor.
And allegiance.
Very good. Okay. And so those things we think are the traits that all men need to live out in terms of what it means to be a man. So as you listened to this story, what were some of the marks of manhood that stood out to you?
I definitely saw courage because he had to battle like a six-headed dragon thing, and that's not your everyday task. So yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of courage involved here. You know, just all of the like strange and unusual things that he has to face and the way that he has to go about it. I mean, it was even one of his crew members that was like, isn't there another way to do this? And he was kind of like, nope, this is it. This is the way we got to go. So we're just going to face it and we're going to figure it out. And they did. And yeah, but there's definitely a lot of courage needed for those things. Eli, what were some of the marks of manhood that stood out to you?
I mean, I saw skill in like a bunch of different ways. Skill, just like he was, you know, smart and crafty in the way that he was kind of able to get around the obstacles with like telling the Cyclops that his name was Nobody and like using the wine to make him drowsy and fall asleep. And also like it takes skill to be a leader and have all these men like trust you and be able to follow you. And it takes real skill to have a lot of people trust you that way. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I agree. I think so, too. I think that's one of the things that really kind of stands out to me in this story. You know, unlike some of our other Greek heroes who kind of had like one thing going for them, you know, like Orpheus, who was really good at music, or Hercules, who was really, really strong, or Achilles, who was a great warrior. Odysseus kind of has like a jack of all trades thing going for him. Like he's good at a whole bunch of different things in terms of skill, and he has to kind of figure out how to utilize all the things that he knows how to do, right? So he's a little bit of kind of like a Swiss Army knife a little bit. You know, he's got all these kind of different skills accessible to him, and he's got to figure out like what's going to work in this particular situation. And it may not be the same thing every time, but I kind of feel like that's a little more true to life, you know, is figuring out like what's going to work in one place may not be the same in another place. And as a man, you know, we kind of have to figure out how to take all the skills that we have and figure out what to use when. So I feel like he does a really good job of that. I think for me too, one of the things that I really see being a part of this story is just honor. You know, kind of really the driving motivation here all along is that he wants to get back home to who?
His wife and child.
Yeah, that's right. So he's got some honor for his family, you know, just kind of really trying to say, hey, I want to do right by them. I need to get back to them and to be faithful to, you know, what I'm supposed to be as a husband and a father. And so kind of the driving force behind this whole story is how do I get back to my wife and son? And, you know, finally in the end, we get to see that. But I think that it's easy to kind of forget that that's the force that kind of pushes him as a man, you know, all along the way, even when the gods keep throwing these crazy obstacles in front of him, some of which he does okay with and some of which he doesn't, but he still kind of comes back around to that honor idea of I need to get back to my wife and son. And so I think that's really good to see. So lots of really cool things here going on for Odysseus in his story and lots of manly stuff happening as well. So when y'all look at the story then, what are some things that you look at Odysseus and you go, I wish I could be like him in some kind of way?
Have as many friends as he does, because he has like 500 friends. So yeah.
Well, yeah, he's got a big crew, right? And they're very loyal and faithful to him. But I mean, what happens to the crew though?
They all die.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, there's definitely some, you know, sense of like he's a man worth following and he's got good men around him. And that's a good thing. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying in that regard, too. But, you know, the story can kind of tell us that like those kind of relationships don't always last. And so we have to be careful of that, too. Eli, what about you? What do you see in the story that you think, man, I wish I could be like Odysseus like that?
I don't know what Colton said of just like, I want to be a leader like Odysseus and like being able to have people that will trust me and go. I mean, you know, all these people went to like death for him. And, you know, that seems a little extreme to have people trust you like that. But something like that, just that people can trust and depend on me as someone to lead them.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's really good to hear. Okay, here at the Manly Tales podcast, we'd like to end each episode by giving you guys, the dads and sons who are listening, a couple questions to be able to continue the discussion after the episode is over. And today, actually, we just have one question. It's the same question for both the dads and the sons. So here's your question to be able to ask each other. How can you reaffirm your loyalty to your family? Okay, how can you reaffirm your loyalty to your family? All right, so that's it for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Manly Tales podcast, and we'll look forward to talking to you next time. We'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
See y'all next time on Manly Tales.
Manly Tales stories are adapted and performed by Josh Burns. For more information about the show, visit manlytales.com. Hey dads, don't forget to download your Dad-Son Challenge, 10 manly activities that dads and sons can do together. Just go to manhoodtribes.com/challenge.